talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And we're back here on a Getaway Friday, May the 15th, 2026. Middle of the month of May, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in, phone lines are open. A very deep conversation this morning. Nothing political, nothing about the president, nothing about the gas prices, nothing about local politics, all philosophical today.
That's good.
Well, people say, you know, we're political, we're philosophical today. 740-383-9944. But it was fun to go to the Bravo competition last night at the they call it something. It's Bucci's, but it's the place in the back.
Like something rail something.
I don't know why they just don't call it Bucci's. But fun event last night, a lot of great talent, and just a few little tweaks, and I think they'd have that thing really up and running. But next week is the grand finale on Thursday night. If you want to go, 7 to 9, doesn't cost you anything, and it'd be well worth it to go, I believe. All right, 740-383-9944. You know, something, this is a little political, but a conversation we had the other night was, Billy Bob Thornton, the actor, says he doesn't know anything about politics, so celebrities should not speak out about politics. So what do you think about that?
I don't know that I'd go as far to say that celebrities shouldn't talk about politics, but I mean, you know, they're people too. I think they have the freedom to do so. But I think that just because they are celebrities, doesn't mean that you should take their word for the gospel or anything. I mean,
I don't think he's saying that.
Take their word with a grain of salt, just like you would everybody else.
Well, yeah, isn't that what we all do?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Some people will hear something that a famous person says. We have a celebrity culture. I think that's what they would refer to it as. Some people just believe celebrities.
Well, but that's on them. That's not on the celebrity.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think they should have the ability to do so. I mean, you know, they're people too. They got rights.
You know, people keep saying endorsements don't matter. I don't think that's true. If you are an unknown, you want somebody out on the campaign trail with you who's known. How is she going to draw a crowd? You want somebody to be in your commercials. You want somebody to be doing things for you. If you don't have that and you're an unknown, you're in trouble. You're not going to draw crowds. You're not going to get people to vote for you. People don't know who you are. You're not going to give you money either. Endorsements are also a money maker. People always forget that. You know, endorsements, no. Does an endorsement force somebody to vote for you? No. But do you think it endorses a group of people to give you money? Absolutely. And what do you need to get people to vote for you? Money.
There's nothing that... what was the first point? What was the first point?
That celebrity endorsements don't mean anything.
Oh, if you're a nothing.
If you're a nothing. If you're a nothing, they mean everything.
The only thing that it does, I mean, it gets your name out there. But, like, I mean, it doesn't help me. If you're an unknown, that's the word you used. If you were an unknown... I mean, by definition, I don't know anything about you.
Right.
An endorsement still doesn't tell me anything about you.
No, but the endorsement, if you like me, if we've talked, I assume, I can call you now and say, hey, you know, you endorse me. Could you come do a campaign fundraiser for me?
How about you, like, again, I mean, just for me here, I don't know how everybody else feels about things. I would much rather, I don't care who endorses, I would rather you get out there and tell me what you think it should be done, what you want to do. Like, I don't
care. But again, if you only got one person showing up, big deal. But if you got 1,000 people showing up, well, that's better. They're going to hear you, but you need an opener. Like, if you went out today and said you were having a fundraiser, you were going to run for office, nobody's coming. So nobody, the media's not going to come. They don't know you. They don't care. But if you get somebody of note to endorse you, they might come to that to see what that person's going to say. Or why did this person endorse him? What's going on with that guy? Why would that person with that kind of career endorse them? Yeah, that'll help.
It's just a by proxy thing, I guess.
But it matters.
50-50.
No, it's not. That's not even near 50-50. You try to do that on your own as an unknown, look, you're not going anywhere.
There's no candidate that's ever endorsed anybody that I've been like, oh, okay, yeah. No, I don't care.
Here you go. How, one of our listeners this morning. How many average people with no expertise in politics have podcasts or shows dedicated to talking exclusively about politics? True, but you build your audience. If you just had to do one podcast on one day and get an audience, that's not going to happen. And that's why guests are important. You know, I have always believed, believe it or not, that the guests, I don't think I ever would have had a radio career without the guests I had on. Now, did that eventually translate into me having a long career? Yes. Was it based on any one guest? No. But in the beginning, I noticed that if I would have Phyllis Diller on, or I would have Art Linkletter on, or I would have Ernest Borgnine, or Tony Curtis, or Joe Nuxall, or Phil Donahue, or people like this on, people were more apt to listen to what I was doing. And if they were listening, they'd go, did you hear Phil Donahue on Scott's show? Did you hear Helen Thomas on Scott's show?
Those people,
well, then they were okay with me.
But those people, but they're not your fans. They're their fans.
Until they hear you and they go, oh, you know. Like when Phil Donahue said, Scott, you remind me of me. Well, that helps. Because if you're a fan of his and he's telling you.
But again, I mean, for me personally, because you would like to point out that I, yes, because you're asking me for my opinion. So, yes, I'm speaking for myself here.
Wasn't that the point?
Well, no, because a lot of the times I'd be like, I think, and then you'd be like, see, but you, it's because you just
your
like,
No, your opinions are fine, but your opinions a lot of times are based in you specifically. Like you, your situation. Like your opinion, you don't let be affected by how other people might have had it. An opinion should be brought together by not just how I had it. Like, that's just me telling a story. Well, you know, when I was a child, nobody bullied me. Okay, that's my experience. But I can't say my opinion is that nobody was ever bullied because I wasn't bullied. No, I know people were. So my opinion is, yes, people were bullied. That's not just based on my experience. Like a lot of times you will say, your opinion will be, nobody ever felt like that. And I'll say, no, you never felt like that. You don't know how they felt. You don't take that into account. That's what I'm saying when I say that. You can have an opinion.
Like what?
I don't know. What were you going to say anyway?
I don't know. What was the question?
You said I have an opinion.
Yeah, but what was the question? I have the opinion.
I was talking about the show and having guests.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. But, like, even if Phil Donahue said, you remind me of me.
Right.
You remind Phil Donahue of Phil Donahue.
Right.
If you don't remind me of Phil Donahue, then the connection's not there for me.
True. But I can guarantee me talking to myself doesn't get the audience of me talking to Phil Donahue. Now, do 100% of the people who like Phil Donahue think I am Phil Donahue? No. But if 30% of that crowd does, that's more than the crowd I was drawing standing alone. Math.
That's not politics.
You know, I'll give you... Yeah, it is politics. Politics is worse. Politics is worse than ratings. Politics
I have to vote for you.
Right. It's all numbers.
If you endorse me, what? I just really don't see there being all that many people who, like, I don't know. Maybe people really just, I don't, I couldn't tell you. Maybe endorsements are just,
well,
like,
let me go back. I'll give you I will tell you an example. One of the reasons, I don't know, I think I probably told this on the air, but it's certainly been a long time. When I started in radio, I got the interview with Helen Thomas, and that was really the first thing that went national that I ever did. And that was a big, people saw that all over. That was in London, on the BBC. That was all over America. It was in newspapers. This is before internet had really taken off to be a big thing. It was everywhere. And Phyllis Diller, who had been already had been coming on my show for years, had heard about it because she'd been out in L.A. But she'd also been coming on my show for years. And I said, Phyllis, because they'd offer me my own show out of that interview. They decided to give me my own weekend show. And I said, well, that sounds good. Well, I wanted to have a good first show. So I invited Phyllis Diller on. She said, absolutely. She said, we've heard all the hoop. It was on CNN. I mean, she'd seen it. And she said, I'm going to have you on. And she came on and gave me the biggest put-up in the world. You know, we have all been aware of you, Scott, out here in L.A., and we've been wondering why the world hasn't found our friend Scott Spears, and Larry King can't live forever, and all this stuff that she said. She didn't have to say that, but she did. And we used that for a commercial. An endorsement for my show. It wasn't me saying, hey, listen to Scott Spears Saturdays at 8 a.m. No, it was Phyllis Diller saying these wonderful things. And by the way, there was a program director who came by and took that commercial down and said, we don't promote personalities. We promote the station. And that's when I said, I got to get out of here. Because if they didn't understand why that mattered, I couldn't help them. If I'm popular, that does promote the station. I didn't break the woman's fingers to say that. And what am I going to do, not use the thing that she said?
That's what they wanted, yeah.
Right, but that's how dumb some programmers are in radio. But that absolutely happened. I wish I would have kept that email at the time. But didn't say it to my face. Pulled the spot and said, we do not promote personalities. We promote the station. After Phyllis Diller had recorded a spot for me for free. Yeah. Good move there, buddy. Now, do you see the logic in that?
No.
There you go.
He's in charge.
But he was in charge. So I said, my opinion was, I got to get out of here.
What does this got to do with what?
That Phyllis Diller said it, it helped my show. If I would have said it, wouldn't have helped. If Bill, who worked down at the furniture store, said it, it wouldn't have helped.
But they're, okay, but in politics, if you endorse somebody, like, yes, at best, I think you're right. I mean, you might, you're probably going to get more eyes on that campaign, at least for a little bit.
And more money.
Maybe.
No, if you, Phyllis Diller, you come to a fundraiser for me, campaign fundraiser, sure. That's going to get more people. That's going to get more money.
You're not donating to the person that you like. You're donating to the other person.
You're coming to watch her do comedy, and all the proceeds are going to your campaign. That's going to do more than you going door to door selling cookies.
No. I'm talking about, like, just politics.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, too. I'm saying, let's say Phyllis, because this is, would celebrities endorse you? Okay? If Phyllis Diller endorses me, especially now since she's been dead for 14 years, this would really be fantastic. But if Phyllis Diller endorses me for political office, I can call her and go, Phyllis, would you do a comedy show for me and use that as a political fundraiser? Now, they're not going to hear me speak. They're going to hear her do comedy that they've done. They've been buying tickets to that for years. But I'm going to get all the money from that. And she did that for me because she likes me. She supports me. She endorses me.
So you're going to not pay them?
No, they're not going to. They don't want to be paid. They want you to be in office. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think campaign fundraisers are? You think they're political speeches?
Yes.
No.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought they were. Why do you think they
want? Hey, we got President Obama, George Clooney, and Lady Gaga coming to this party. You want to come for $100 a plate? Oh, yeah, I'll come. Why?
I'd come.
Because you want to hear me speak?
I'd come watch Obama speak.
Right. You're not coming to hear me speak, but guess who's getting the money off that fundraiser? Me. Hey, you right there. Point. Checkmate.
But it's not. Okay. Sure.
And that's why endorsements matter. People act like endorsements' only function is that people are going to vote for you because that person's going to vote for you. No.
I think that's the least of the functions.
Probably. But it doesn't hurt.
I don't think it really helps.
Doesn't hurt. No, I don't think that's true.
It probably helps with money. I can give you the money.
Helps with money. It helps with crowds. It helps with name. What do people always talk about with politicians? God, nobody came to that thing. Wow, they had a big crowd. Well, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody mention crowd size.
Our president loves it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, until the 2016 inauguration, he was like, oh, you know, Obama's crowd, you know, oh, but, you know, my crowd. You know.
Right, but people said that when Obama got up. This was the biggest crowd. And when he won in 2008, they had it in a park in Chicago instead of a building. And McCain looked like he was at the Holiday Inn giving his concession speech. Because it does matter. Why do you think the gubernatorial campaigns right now don't hold rallies? Because they don't want 10 people showing up. And the news showing up going, good Lord. There's nobody here at this thing.
Well, to my understanding, I almost called her Kamala. Jeez. Amy Acton. Yep, there you go.
Right.
Amy Acton is holding campaign rallies. She's just not inviting people to them.
Well, there you go. Another problem.
So what's the point in doing a rally if you're not going to invite anybody?
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Right.
I don't know that I'd pay to listen to Amy Acton speak, but I'd go listen to
her. A lot of these
speak.
Rallies, my guesses, are fundraisers. Which they probably don't want the media covering that because they are giving money. Because at some point from the stage, you got to pitch that you want money. And you probably don't want the media reporting that. So that's not really a rally.
Well, if they're all been just fundraisers, then I guess you need more rallies.
Right, but why don't you do it? What?
If she can draw the people to the fundraiser, she can draw people to rallies.
Well, rallies
are
different.
She's not even like...
Rallies are different. Because rallies, again, you don't know. It's not RSVP. You don't know if the people are showing up or not. And also with a rally, you don't know who's showing up. People could be... Hecklers could be out there. Do you have the infrastructure to control that? Probably not. Matter of fact,
Those are not even endorsements.
Because if you have somebody out there on stage with you, you're liable to draw a bigger crowd. You don't have to worry about 10 people showing up to see you.
Well, I mean, sure. But, like, I mean...
Well, recently, didn't somebody say, was it during the last presidential election, that there was a rally held on one of the campuses and a band? They had the band do the rally?
I have no clue.
I know I heard about this. Because the band was in Ohio, and I did not know the band was in Ohio, but they did a thing on campus, and I believe it was a rally. A lot of times they'll use bands. Why do you think they do that?
I don't know.
That's nothing political. Because a band will draw a crowd. People want to see the band. I'll tell you a story. When Mitt Romney came to Marion, this is a radio story. Everybody sit back and relax. This is a good one. The year that Mitt Romney ran against Obama, I hope I have this right. I think, God, anyway, Bill Clinton came to Marion one time, and so did Joe Biden. Now, I can't remember if Bill Clinton came for Hillary in the primary. I think he did. Bill Clinton came to get support for Hillary in the Democratic primary against Obama. I think that's what it was. But Joe Biden, the sitting vice president, came for Obama's re-election. And he held it at Harding High School's gymnasium. And it filled it. But, you know, that's not probably, I don't know how many people fit in that gymnasium. Not huge. It's not huge.
Probably pretty close to, like, you know, something 500.
Which is not huge. So, that happened, and that season, Mitt Romney, like a week before the election, Mitt Romney and his vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, came to the Coliseum, 5,000 seats, and filled it. Now, why was that? Now, I'm walking into the Coliseum, and what am I hearing is because you have to go through, you know, metal detectors and all kinds of things, especially if you're media. As I'm going into that that event over at the Coliseum, I hear the Oak Ridge Boys singing like Elvira and things like that. And I'm thinking, well, that's weird that they have that piped in here, you know. And we walked into the media space. No, the Oak Ridge Boys were there doing a live concert. They were his opener that night. The Oak Ridge Boys. Now, why?
Okay, like, if you were going to draw 10,000 people on your own.
5,000.
It's just an example, but sure, 5,000 doesn't really make a difference. If you were going to draw 5,000 people on your own, and then now, you invited me. Now, people aren't really going to listen to me speak, right? But, like, if you listen, now there's 5,002 people there, well, you know, not including me. If I brought two people with me to watch me speak, you now have more people.
Right. But I'd rather have 5,000 than two.
No. 5,000 than 5,000 and two.
I'm talking about subtracting the band. If you subtract the band, you got two people watching you. Add the band, you got 10,000 and two. I'd rather have 10,000 and two.
But at that rate, just invite everybody. Just get the whole army in there.
The whole army is not going to endorse you. That's why it matters.
I don't know. I don't mean like the actual whole army. Get Tim Ryan to endorse Amy Acton. You already got Dick Celeste. Get Ted Strickland. I don't know if he has or not. You just get.
I think he has.
Just line up all the Democrats. Hold one big rally, and then boom, built-in attendance with all of those people right there. Problem solved.
Probably. But you can't do that every day.
Why not?
You can't trek these people out every day. Then it would get old.
I don't know. People love the AOC and Bernie tour thing they did.
Yeah, but they don't go to. You're campaigning in one state.
They went around the entire country.
Well, right, but to become governor, you don't go around all the United States. People in Idaho don't care who's going to be the governor in Ohio. I'm saying if
no,
you...
No, but people in Marion do, and people in Delaware do, and people in Columbus
you got
80, do.
You got 88...
Yeah!
You're going to do this in every county?
I don't think there's going to be overlap? I'd do it like...
That's what I'm saying. There's only a amount of times you're going to be able to do this.
I mean, yeah, but, like, you don't have to do it in every county.
So you can't do it every day.
Do, like, how many months is the election cycle?
Long time now.
All right, so you got all the time in the world to get all these people together. And, like, you could go to, like, what was it, 88 counties, right? That's what you said? Uh-huh. You can go to, I don't know, you can go to, like, 6 to 8 of them.
Okay. 6 to 8 rallies. Yeah, I agree with that.
With all those people.
Right. I'm just saying you can't do it every day.
You don't need to do it every day.
But that's what you said. I said you said get all these people together and do a big rally and draw a crowd. And I said you can't do that every day when you're running for governor.
You mean literally every day?
You can't do it every week when you're running for governor.
Well, you can't do it. Yes, I agree.
But you can do it occasionally. And it's going to draw you a bigger crowd than you draw on your own.
I mean, just like 6 to 8 rallies holding the same... By the way, it's going to be the same speech. I promise you, it's going to be the same speech at each of the rallies.
Not if I do it.
Well, you're not Amy Acton.
Oh, you're talking about her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it'd be dependent on where I was, though. Dick Celeste is not popular in certain parts of the state. Ted Strickland's not popular in certain parts of the state. And as a Democrat, you're probably not going to draw big crowds in heavy Republican areas, no matter who you got.
Well, you can't just abandon the heavy Republican area. You need to steal some votes.
There are certain areas it isn't going to matter. So you have to just weigh that out. And campaigns are not very creative anymore. Campaigns are much more guarded than they used to be. Like, they don't want their candidate doing anything that could be seen as goofy. Goofy used to be an attention getter. So, I don't know. I think that's quite unfortunate.
I don't really want you being goofy.
It gets people's attention.
I wouldn't want to vote for somebody who I saw as goofy.
Dick Celeste used to wear these big glasses that said Ohio. That's goofy. But it showed people he cared about Ohio. That was the point.
I mean, that's not really goofy.
It's goofy. You don't do that on a normal day. Walk around with big glasses that say Ohio at big rallies.
Okay.
So it's a goofy thing, but it got attention.
I don't think it's goofy.
Okay. You think Donald Trump was really running the garbage truck when he put that vest on?
I think Donald Trump is goofy.
He won.
Well, he didn't get my vote.
Doesn't matter. Goofy works. Then he went, you think he was really flipping the burgers at McDonald's that day when he was running the drive-thru?
And you might have flipped one. Actually,
right. But people love that photo op. They love it. It's a common man doing common things. We all go to McDonald's. Donald Trump goes to McDonald's. Look at that.
Donald Trump's a big fan of McDonald's.
Right. People like that. It's relatable. Goofy is relatable.
I mean, I don't know that it's goofy to like McDonald's.
It's goofy to go into McDonald's, running for president, the window. Yes,
that's goofy.
Yes.
Obviously, you have bigger aspirations in life than McDonald's
like that
worker.
Because you're just like me. It's goofy because of what you're doing, if you actually looked at it. But people love that. And that clip
but
got
you're
paid
not
a thousand times.
Just, I don't know. I don't even get that photo op. Like, if I saw...
Worked very well for him.
If I saw somebody who was running for president, you know, serving fries at McDonald's, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, this is what he does in his spare time.
People
no,
who don't care
it's obviously a photo op.
People who don't care about politics, which is the majority of people, go, look at that. Look at plus that.
And I think he's just working at the McDonald's on a daily basis.
But
doesn't make a difference. He's not working. He didn't even work an 8-hour shift.
You make the news.
He probably gave like 3 people their food and was like, "All right, I'm out of here."
You make the news with that, and the people who don't see you, and they see you doing something other than standing in a suit on a stage.
He's handing out
people
McDonald's.
In Marion, Ohio,
Donald
put
Trump.
On garbage vests to go to the Republican headquarters.
Why?
Because people like that stuff.
What is a garbage bag?
No, garbage vests.
Oh, like the... I see.
They wore that to election night.
I thought you meant like they were wearing a garbage bag.
No. That's
see.
What they did. If Donald Trump had worn one, they probably would have.
Donald Trump is according to him, I honestly don't know, because apparently he lied about how much his businesses are worth and all that good stuff. So, allegedly, multi-billionaire.
He probably is now.
Yes, yeah, with all the schemes he's been running as president, yes, he's probably a multi-billionaire. But,
it's a shiver three.
But look, there is no multi-billionaire who's going to be out there serving McDonald's for 8 hours a day, like, you know, 5 days. It's not happening.
Oh, people, you will see things this summer at the fair, all these fairs from Amy Acton and Vivek. They'll be just like you. They'll be out there eating those hot dogs, down there getting those curly fries. They'll just be eating, lapping it up.
You're not just like me. I hate to break it to you.
Why do you think Vivek all of a sudden got pictures with guns? Just like you.
I do not have pictures with guns.
Yeah, but that's what he's getting to. I'm Second Amendment. Look at me with the gun. By the way, I don't think people who criticize that, I think that's kind of wrong.
What?
Oh, look, he's not really for guns, but there he is with a picture with a gun. Isn't that goofy? Well, no, I mean,
I would assume if you're out there with a picture of guns, you probably are at least, you know, pragmatic about it.
Yeah. So why criticize it?
Well, I think they're just hating to hate at this point.
Right. I mean, if I was against guns, I certainly wouldn't take a picture with a gun.
Unless I was a Republican. Then I might.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be a Republican.
Why not?
Because you know that's going to hurt you. Let me just keep this hidden. No, that's not how that works.
I don't, I mean, is it like a one-issue voter thing?
Oh, it seemed to be. People were trying to use that in the local campaigns.
Didn't work very well.
Didn't work, no. Didn't work at all.
I don't know what's up with that.
Maybe, how do I know who is for guns and who is not? Maybe they are. I don't know.
I don't know. What kind of guns did he have?
I don't know. See? It interests you.
Well, because, like, I mean, if the man's got, like, a 9mm, then he might, then, you know, that's not, that's not exactly, you know. But if he's got, like, an AK-47 or an AR-15, he probably would be more.
You know, I'm fine. Whatever they want to do. If you want to take a picture with a gun to show your support for guns, okay, fine.
What kind of gun was it?
I don't know.
I'm curious.
See, this is why Goofy works.
Because if I see what kind of gun it is, and it's like a, like I said, like a 9mm, like a .380, you know, some like, he's got like a .22 revolver, then you know, he's probably not exactly pro Second Amendment that you're looking for.
But you're making the point that Goofy works.
Have you got an AK or an
AR-15? No, it's Goofy anyway. Because why do you need to do that to show your support of guns? You don't.
Show you got guns?
Right. But you don't have to do that. It's a Goofy thing to do.
Kamala did the same thing. People beat,
exactly.
People beat her over the head seven ways to Sunday
exactly.
Because she was going to ban assault rifles or whatever. And then she like took a whole like did a whole video of her shooting in a range.
Right. There you go. Goofy.
Well, I mean, shooting in a range is like...
But you remember it. See? That's the point.
But she was pro-gun control. So being taken pictures with guns doesn't really
gun
mean anything.
Gun control is not gun elimination. I do not understand this.
Well, I didn't say it was.
No, but that's how it's always couched. That's how it was couched the last bit in the local election. Because somebody is in... got money from a group that supports some gun control, they're anti-Second Amendment. That's not true.
Literally a police organization.
I mean...
Oh.
That's how it is always laid out, and that's just not true.
I mean, I think there's a lot of pragmatic gun control people.
All right, we got 15 minutes left. If you'd like to weigh in, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. I think it's all fine. Do what you want. Get attention. That's the name of the game.
That is not the name of the game.
It is.
No.
You've got to make them... If you can't get their attention on you, you're in trouble.
Well, if that's the case, then we should all just... Everybody should just run like Donald Trump did. That man did nothing. He dominated the news cycle.
Well, he got elected twice.
Well, he did, yeah.
There you go.
But he lost the second time.
And I don't think it was good publicity during that time. COVID was going on.
Oh, by the way, I love the fact that people just, you know, forget about Donald Trump being in charge during COVID, but, oh, Amy Acton shutting down those businesses? Oh!
I don't understand any of that. I don't understand.
Donald Trump gave, like, COVID test kits to Russia in exchange for literally nothing as goodwill. And, like Donald Trump mishandled COVID so poorly.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something interesting. I was thinking the other day, what's this new virus?
I didn't know there was a...
Yes, I've heard many people talking about it now. It's come up several different places.
I'm not worried about it.
Well, that's fine. But when I'm hearing enough people talk about this, if this does break out in any way, big or small, that is going to hurt Amy Acton tremendously. because it's going to put people right again in the place where we're on the cusp of something. That's how it'll be phrased. We're on the verge of somebody wanting to shut down everything again who did it last time. And that's going to be very hurtful for her.
I mean, I guess. But, you know.
Fanta virus, is that it? Something like that.
I didn't know there was another virus. Couldn't tell you.
Oh, it's making a lot of news right now. Started on a cruise ship. Came from rats.
Oh, just like COVID, allegedly. Came from rats.
Bats.
Just like the... Oh, you said bats?
Yeah, no. Bats was COVID. They said bats.
Oh, they just changed it up, threw an R instead of a B in there?
Now it's rats.
Oh, just like the bubonic plague.
Well, all I know is that this becomes a bigger and bigger story. Hantavirus. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, Hanta.
So what's up with that?
Well, if it keeps getting publicity...
Well, what is it?
It's a virus.
Well, I got that, but like so is the flu, but I know what the flu is.
It's killed a few people now.
The flu's killed a few people.
Oh, that's fine.
But I'm like, what? Like,
do you want me to finish a sentence here or what?
What are the symptoms of this?
I don't have it.
Like COVID was like a super strong flu. I mean, I never had COVID, but that's my understanding from people who did. Now,
yes, everybody has different symptoms, just like they did with COVID.
So what? Okay. Is it another?
You don't want it. It's killed people.
Everything's killed people.
Listen.
Is it like I can't think. Is it like
It's not as transmittable as COVID. Apparently, you have to be very close to somebody.
Well, that's good, I guess.
All bad stuff here. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, caller. Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, not too bad. I think that virus is going to be another COVID, I think.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What makes you think that? So you've heard about it.
Well yeah, it's because...
You brought it up the other day.
I brought it up the other day.
That's right. So, again, Matt's completely oblivious to this.
I think what's going to happen is there are three New Yorkers, and, you know, New York is known for rats. They're rats everywhere.
Oh,
you know, I didn't see one rat while I was in New York.
I didn't see the sign going and say, we're known for rats.
Yeah, they're known for rats. They're not known for rats.
No, they're not. Go ahead.
I mean, think about that. We're Splinter, you know. Remember Splinter?
Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
No, they weren't from New York. The teenage... Yeah, they were?
Yeah, they're from New York.
Okay, well, they were all named after painters.
They were, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I think what's going to happen is, since New York has a lot of rats...
Okay.
It's going to cause a pandemic again, I think. Is what I'm afraid of.
What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm just saying...
Because New York has a lot of rats, that's going to lead us into another pandemic?
Yeah, because... You know, people are going to get sick, and then people travel from New York, you know, all the time. You know, because everybody goes to New York City. A lot of people travel to go to New York City, right?
Okay, but I thought people already had this virus who were on the cruise ship, and they're worried about the fact that it's mutated because these people have gone home now.
Well, yeah, they have.
So what does this have to do with rats in New York?
Well, I think what's going to happen
is... Not every rat has this virus.
I think the New York rats probably have the virus.
Well, then why are we hearing more of this from New York?
I have no idea. We don't, but I'm telling you.
You're not going to be allowed back in New York if you keep saying they're known for rats.
Well, they are known for rats.
Oh, call up Mayor, what's his name, Mondami, and ask him if they're known for rats.
I follow this channel on TikTok, and he goes around every night and goes around and shows the rats. Because, you know, rats come out at nighttime, not really during daytime, right?
Uh-huh.
So he goes around and around New York City, shows all the infested rats. They're infested. I'm telling you.
But they have been for years. What does this have to... Not every rat has this virus, and the worry right now is that the one that did, or the ones that did, infected people on a cruise ship, and now they have went around, and they're waiting to see if this has mutated into other states, and if it has, that's where the problem's going to be.
Right. I agree with you on that, but...
So what does this have to do with New York?
Oh, the reason why I say New York is because... New York has a population, right?
Uh-huh.
And the three people on that cruise ship were from New York City.
Right.
Or New York. I don't know about New York City, but they were from New York.
Okay.
And they got sick.
Right.
So they're going to go back to New York, right? And they're going to take it. I'm sure they're probably going to pass it on to somebody else.
Uh-huh. That's the worry. But for every state, that's the worry. I believe it's in Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So,
but what's this have to do with rats?
It's just like a domino effect.
Right, but what does this have to do with New York rats?
I'm telling you, the rats, that New York rats probably have the disease already. And they...
No, they don't. Anyway, hold on, from a listener out here. From a listener out here, I'll send you a New York rat. Here's a, from a listener. You have to be in confined spaces for a long period of time to get it, like being on a cruise ship. And even then, it wasn't a high number of cases.
So what is it? Is it like a respiratory thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think we got to worry about rats. But I do think that Amy Acton, if this becomes a well-known story again... Even if it's not like COVID, they're going to use it against her, and that's not going to be good for her.
Oh, I agree.
How many people already know about this?
A lot of people.
Maybe I'd live under a rock.
Well, see, you thought you knew about news, but you don't. So,
well, there you go.
So how do you feel about death?
About death?
Yeah.
How do I feel about death?
Yeah. That's the conversation we were... Well, that's what happens when you get bit by those New York rats. Death happens.
Oh, God. Well, death, you know, it's there. It's there. It's peaceful. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure it's peaceful?
Huh?
Are you sure it's peaceful?
Yeah.
I don't know. My question, we were having a conversation earlier about life and death, and Matt said he wants to be awake when he dies with no drugs. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I agree with that on that. I wanted to see how many people come to me and you know, because a lot of people come out of the woodwork when you die. But they don't come to see you when you're alive.
Well, no, he's saying he wants to be alive. He wants to be kept conscious with no medication until he dies.
I would like to know what the experience of dying is like.
Yeah, do you want to be there when you die?
I guess. I don't see why not.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're having that massive heart attack, you want to be there when your chest is pounding out of your head?
Well, maybe.
I don't know, it's going to be a lot of pain. I'm telling you, a lot of pain, blues, and agony.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Who would want to be... Don't you want medicated when you die?
Me? I don't want to be medicated. I just wanted to be natural.
You're medicated now. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, I'm medicated now, but... I don't know. You know, the crap out of me. I guess I think I would like to be alive, or you know, feel the. Well, I don't know. It depends on what I'm dying from. I guess that's what I'm going to say.
I'm telling you, if you're awake, I bet you death is painful.
Death can't be that bad. It depends on how you're dying.
Yeah, your last words will be, "I don't think this can hurt that bad." Ow! I don't think I want that. Like Woody Allen said, "I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens."
I don't remember who it was, but there was
there you go.
There was somebody who was explaining There was somebody who was explaining what it felt like to have a heart attack, like one of the like, you know, indies, and they basically just said that they felt like an elephant sat on their chest. They had massive heart pain. They, you know, and then just slowly but surely, the lights just faded, and then they woke up in a hospital bed.
Okay, you had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's what mine felt like. It felt like an elephant sitting on my chest.
And you didn't want anybody to do anything for you? Just let you sit there with that pain?
No, I called 911.
But you're saying you don't mind. You want to be awake, full on.
Now look, if I have a heart attack or something, yeah, I'm probably gonna try to keep around for a while. I can do something.
Nobody's
about a heart attack.
Sean, you said you've been there through it. Now you wanna just be through that without any medication?
Well, you know what? I have to say no because they gave me what do they call that?
Nitro. Nitro.
Nitro. Yeah.
What is
they gave me that, and that kind of helped my symptoms. So, I guess I don't want to. I guess I'm wrong on that. I guess
right.
They gave me medicated because the heart attack is no fun. You know?
This is kind of a silly. Who wants to be in pain? Nobody wants to be in. Anytime anybody's in pain, people get a little headache and they go, "Oh my God, give me some medication."
Well, I don't take medicine, pain medicine, like at all.
If you were in real pain, you would.
See, that's what the doctor said too. They offered me OxyContin, as a matter of fact, and I was like, "No, I'm good on the OxyContin."
All I'm telling you, nobody wants to be in pain.
They gave me Dilaudid through a syringe. You know, they gave me half that syringe, and I was like, honestly, I don't need the other half. And then they gave me the other half anyways, because because I was a child and didn't have rights, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think it's... What do you think happens when you die?
Nada.
you go to heaven.
Oh, okay.
or, you know...
Well, what's in heaven?
The other one.
What's in heaven?
Huh?
I say, what's in heaven?
What's in heaven?
Yeah.
All your loved ones. Good.
What about the people you don't like? Are they there?
Are the Golden Roads going to be there? Is it going to be Golden Roads and God's light shines so bright that it lights up all of heaven so there's no need for a sun and, the whole nine?
Well, it could be. It could be. I don't know.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You can get a tan.
with the light of God.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
There are no pale people in heaven. Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, see, there you go. We solved it. We can fit one more call in before we're up here. 740-383-9944. 8 to 10 tonight. We'll be on, and then what's coming up on your show tonight, 10 to 11?
Tonight on my show, we're going to be talking about mainly politics. There are a couple of football stories, but I might just, ditch those for the politics, as there's not a whole lot of football going on as of currently, but it's there.
You need a good endorsement.
A good endorsement?
Yeah, for somebody that said, I'm going to listen to that show tonight, why shouldn't everybody else?
Get Donald Trump on it.
There you go.
I think if I paid Donald Trump enough, he'd probably say it.
I think most people have found that to be true. All right, we're done for the day. Talk to you at 8 o'clock tonight. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Sometime, and they get mad. And so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play.